The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
So now we're going to hear from God's Word, and we're continuing our series in Ephesians. We're coming to the end of chapter 1, and it's on page 1173, page 1173, starting at verse 15 of chapter 1. And Alice is going to come and read that to us. Thank you.
So that was 1173, starting at chapter 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is in his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Fantastic, Alice. Thank you very, very much. And thanks to Christoph for handing around the handout so efficiently. That's all gone very smoothly. Brilliant. It's quite a good idea. Very good. On Pentecost Sunday, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may, for the work of God's Spirit, Pentecost. So let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll look at this great prayer together. God, our Father, we thank you that your Spirit is in your church and in our hearts. And Lord, as we've been singing this morning, would you open the eyes of our hearts? Would you show us yourself? Lord, we need your Spirit's help. We want to see you, to see you high and lifted up. There is none like you, Lord. Actually, there's loads in Ephesians about the Holy Spirit, all the way through. And before we get to the passage, I thought it would be quite helpful to just give a little talk. Next passage, chapter 1, verse 13. The end. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit, we learn in that verse, is God's gift of himself to everyone who believes. He, as that verse says, comes into your life when you believe. And that is a promise, it says. If you trust in Jesus, you have the Spirit, whether you realize it or not. If you're someone who trusts in Jesus, I don't know if you've ever thought of that. And in that verse, it says the Spirit is a deposit, a guarantee. One day, we will be in God's presence face to face forever in the new creation. But for now, God is present with you, invisibly, in your heart, by his Spirit, as a sort of foretaste, a guarantee of that day. Then there's 1:17, which we'll come back to because that's our passage today. Then flick forward to chapter 2, a couple of verses in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18, which says, "For through him, through Jesus, through his death on the cross, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." When Paul says both, he's talking about Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians together in the church in his day. Remember the day of Pentecost, people from all sorts of nations coming together and hearing the gospel in their own language. So, in other words, he's saying the Holy Spirit to the Father. That's the language he personally. In prayer, we can speak to God. We can speak to him any moment of the day or night. We don't need to do anything special to have this access to God because the Spirit has given us permanent access to God by his presence in our lives. He lives in you by his Spirit. And then skip down to 2 verse 22, right at the end of the chapter, which says, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we've talked about individuals and the Spirit dwelling in individuals. Now it's saying there's a corporate sense in which the Holy Spirit dwells in the church, the corporate church. So yes, the Spirit lives in each individual Christian, but also together as the church, the people of God's church, we are God's home on earth, his dwelling place, where he lives amongst us by his Spirit. That's a wonderful and incredible thought, isn't it? Both of them are, really, that individually God dwells in you, and that together we are God's home as his people. The previous verse in verse 21 described it as the church rising to be a holy temple in the Lord, a temple not built with stones, but with people that God dwells amongst. And again, you can say that individually and corporately. You can say each one of us, if we're trusting Jesus, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But together, there is something really special about the sort of, we have our, it's you and me. So together, we are God's house, his temple. He dwells in us as a church. So when we gather, as Matt prayed, let's be expectant. Let's be open to what God is doing amongst us. He is here. Individually and corporately. Let's be ready for God to be at work in us by his Spirit. Then skip down to chapter 3, where verse 5 talks about the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. In other words, 2,000 years ago, when Paul was writing this letter and when the apostles were teaching the church, the Spirit was working through them to make Jesus known, to tell the world about the good news of what Jesus had done. And then 3 verse 16 is a prayer that God would strengthen us with power in our inner being through his Spirit. And we'll see something of that strengthening by the Spirit in our passage today. God's Spirit in your life is powerful because he is God. How could he be anything other than extraordinarily powerful? He can empower you and equip you in ways that we can barely understand or imagine. Verse 3 and 4 talk about keeping the unity of the Spirit. Paul says there's one body, and God is not divided. There's one God. The Spirit is not divided. There's one Spirit. And so don't divide the church, Paul is saying. Keep working for unity and peace with each other, because it's a Spirit-given unity. And chapter 4, verse 30 talks about, I don't know if you ever thought of that, if you speak words of unkindness or cruelty to a fellow believer in Jesus, you don't only upset them, you grieve the Spirit of God who dwells in you and dwells in that other person. We're to be kind and compassionate to one another, as the next verses say. Then skip into chapter 5. Here's a big one, quite well known. Chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, which says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So this is a picture of what God wants to be happening in church, week by week, by his Spirit. As we speak to each other, as we sing songs together, these different parts of the service, different parts of our gathering, whether it's up front or in conversations afterwards, through all of it, God wants to pour his Spirit into our lives, the influence of his Spirit into us. That is the point of the comparison with wine. What is it that you want to fill you? What is it that you want to take hold of you and grab you and influence you? Intoxicate you, perhaps? Not alcohol, but God's Spirit. Every Sunday, our prayer can be more, Lord. I want to be filled with you, your Spirit, the influence of your Spirit in my life, We, as a church, want to be filled with the influence of the Spirit and all that he wants to do in our lives. It's a great prayer for every Sunday. Last of all, two verses in chapter 6, the great passage about the spiritual armor of God that we'll probably get to sometime in autumn, because we'll take a break from Ephesians and then come back, just in case you were thinking, gosh, that's a long, long series. Chapter 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. The Bible in your hands is the sword of the Spirit. Always remember that this is the Spirit's book. And he wants us to use it. Without this, without the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, we are vulnerable. We're running into the battles of life unarmed. And we'll be in trouble. So why do we want to give so much attention to this book? Why do we just keep opening it and spending these talks trying to concentrate on what it says? Actually, I don't know if you've realized, this is a deeply spiritual moment, Sunday by Sunday, as we open the Bible, the sword of the Spirit. This is the Spirit's book. Sometimes people try to divide the two a little bit and sort of say, have you ever heard people say this? Well, there are word churches and there are spirit churches. Yeah, there's a bit more spontaneity and both, please. Surely, we want to be a church of word and spirit. We want to be a church of head and heart. We want to be a church of, I don't know, plannedness and spontaneity. All the different things that people associate with one or the other. Let's just say yes, please, to all of them. And be a church that relies on the sword of the Spirit. Word and spirit. Last of all, chapter 6, verse 18. Occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. As we know, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. So let's make the most of that channel of communication we have with God our Father, speaking to him. There's never, ever, ever a bad time to pray. And if you're following Jesus, there's never, ever, ever a moment where the communication channel between you and God is shut off. It never is. The Spirit is with you. Speak to God. So how's that for a whistle-stop tour of the Spirit? In other passages about the fruit of the Spirit, all praise for the Ephesians. But I don't know if you noticed this. He actually hasn't stopped praying since the start of the letter. So do you remember how Paul started in chapter 1, verse 3? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prays this amazing prayer of praise for all the spiritual blessings that God has poured out. I don't know if we've mentioned this, but the whole of verses 3 to 14... that we've taken 4 weeks to look at. In the original, the New International Version translators have had Bible readers collapsing as they try to get through a passage without breathing. And guess what? Our passage, 15 to 23, is also one sentence in the original. So it's more accurate to say that in our passage, Paul continues praying, but he's turning from praising God for all that he's done to pray to live in a group. Or I don't know about you, I have somebody in mind, and I think I just don't know what to pray for them. I'm not sure what's going on in their life, or maybe what's going on is difficult and complex, and it's just hard to know what I can pray. Well, these prayers, like this one, give us some fantastic. That we know God is delighted for us to pray for each other. We know for sure they're in line with his will. We can pray these kind of things with great confidence and assurance for each other. And if I were to carry so that you may, this is a longing that all of us should have, that sense of, I know, I long for my relationship with him to go deeper. I long to know more about him, more about his plans, more about the better as time goes on. Tick what they think. We are infinitely rich and wonderful in our, so whoever it is, and or how you react, awareness of it. God's love is greater than any other love. Even the best of friends or the closest of marriages, God's love is bigger and better. So the best thing in life, if we already know God, is to get to know him better. And the best thing if you don't yet know him is to get to know him. If you're here this morning and you think, I'm not sure if I know God at all yet, I'm just sort of exploring and thinking things through, that is brilliant. I would love you over time to discover the extraordinary love that God has expressed and given for you in Jesus, sending him for you, to die for you, to bring you forgiveness and life with him, and come to know him personally, and then get to know him better and better and better. Will be like. At the top of the prayer are a couple of verses of thankfulness. In verses 15 and 16, Paul said Jesus as well to live. So people and enjoy the coming. In chapter 5, verse 2, it says, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Faith is in Christ's love for us that shows us together. This massive prayer, God better. But how does that happen? How do we get to the glorious Father and the revelation that we need to know God better? And by the way, if you're slightly confused between verse 13 and verse 17, verse 17 doesn't undo verse 13. So it was really clear in verse 13, we have the Spirit if we're trusting in Jesus. We received the Spirit when we believed in Jesus. That's God's promise to all believers. So in verse 17, like when chapter 5 talks about, well, we know God better and better and better as we read the Spirit's words to us in Scripture. Reasons to trust him. All knowing and knowing God better. Wisdom that we need to know God. As we sang earlier, open the eyes. Things from him to see things. Remember those aurora pictures that people took last weekend? And the funny thing about it is that you couldn't really see it with the naked eye. So what happened for me last weekend is my brother on WhatsApp sent me a photo that he'd taken outside. And I ran up to the window and looked out and was initially very, very disappointed because I saw this. And I don't know if you can tell, that is the orange glow of London streetlights. And that was all I could see with the naked eye. I couldn't see it. But I had heard that cameras can see the aurora better than the naked eye can. So I got the phone out and wasn't expecting much, and then saw this. A picture of the work of the Spirit enabling us to respond rightly to the things that God is revealing to us. So those two works of the Spirit, there's wisdom that he wants to impart to us from the outside, but also he works deep within us to help us to really see the things that God wants to reveal. The spiritual awareness that we need, the sensitivity that we need to deepen our knowledge of God, the openness that we need. So let's finish in the last few minutes with a look at what Paul says the Spirit reveals to us. I'm covered very quickly in verse 18. So the two quick things in verse 18, hope, the hope to which he has called you. Now, our hope as Christians, now hope is always a confident certainty rather than I hope it's going to happen, but that is our hope. Do you have that hope? I guess if you're a Christian, you say, yeah, that's part of my set of beliefs. I believe Jesus has died for me, so I'm going to go to heaven when I die and be with God forever. Could you know that hope better? My guess is that all of us could. Could you be more sure of it? Could that hope of eternity with God take hold of you more? More to you. Grab your emotions a bit more. I guess at that point we'd all say, yeah, I believe it, but I want to know it more. I want to know it better. Same thing with the second one. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, talking about God's inheritance, what is God inheriting that is so glorious? People. God's glorious inheritance in his holy people. So, if it's not too embarrassing, look around you. Look at the person on your left. Look at the person on your right. Look at the person behind you. Look at the person in front of you. You are looking at God's glorious inheritance in his people. We. God's people. The church. and the people that God's going to gather in from across the world are what God is really looking forward to inheriting in eternity. Christchurch, more than I do. Our hope and these 19 to 23, his power, God's incomparably great power for us. And again, maybe you say, yeah, I get that. It's a city full of magicians. Christians in Ephesus needed to know, have I turned away from Jesus dying on a cross? That all feels a bit sort of powerless. In verse 19, that power, this power that is at work in you by the Spirit of God, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's a lot of power. In fact, verse 19 and 20, where it says that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted. Greek, it says basically, his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the power, that kind of thing. You get the impression? God's power in you, friend. The power that took Jesus from his death to his destiny enthroned over all things is at work in you. The power that puts Jesus above every name that has ever been named, everything that has ever been earth. So we know better and better and better, and that these things that we do know, we do believe, but we know a little bit, that God would really, really open our eyes, keep on opening our eyes, help us to understand more and more and more who he is and his work for us, so that our lives would be transformed by these things that we know. Wouldn't that be a great thing to pray on this day of Pentecost, that the Spirit would do this in us? So I'm going to pray that. Maybe the band want to come up. And let's pray that God would open the eyes of our hearts.